Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins, and I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I begin my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me." He said, "They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me, just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I do not want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ. Today I'll be speaking about truth. These messages are for those with a heart after God. The truth is what we need, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. It is everyone's personal responsibility to make sure that truth is passed on to the next generation. If you have theories, these should not be presented as truth. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." If we look at the church today, the evidence suggests we are divided by many different doctrines, and this is very confusing. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." We need to learn how the devil is confusing and dividing the church. It is possible for us to come to the unity of the faith in the church. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 11 to 14. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Verse 12, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Verse 13, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Verse 14, "That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." We need a personal knowledge of Jesus and a unity of the faith to come to maturity. The Amplified Bible describes those who have been sent to help us, and you should be submitted to them. Apostles, special messengers, prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, evangelists, preachers of the gospel and traveling ministries, pastors, shepherds of the flock, and teachers. For more information on the fivefold ministry, read the chapter on the fivefold ministry in the book Light by Joseph Hedgecock. If you do not like good preaching and conviction and someone else correcting you, you may not be being perfected or edified. Those people God has sent to unify the body of Christ are not necessarily educated. We read in the book of Acts, chapter 4 and verse 13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Doctrines get twisted by those who are not following Christ and promote ideas that are enticing because they are resisting the truth themselves. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." We are in the last days. And Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 15 and 16, he said, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." verse 16. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? The word ravening in Strong's is number 727. It's taken from another word which means rapacious, extortion, ravening. False prophets emphasize the offering time and the importance of giving and offer something false or worldly or of temporal gain instead, based on a half-truth. They also emphasize the gifts of the Spirit rather than the fruit of the Spirit, as they will be exposed otherwise. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 22 and 23, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The church is not built on big congregations or an abundance of finance. A gospel that is aimed at the rich is a way that seems right. Paul said in Philippians 4 and 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Also, the church is not built on personalities either. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 18, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus was building his church on those who do the will of God. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Larger congregations can attract others, especially baby Christians who have no fruit themselves. Unless you are following Christ, you will not recognize those lacking the fruit of the Spirit. Paul had to speak about bad fruit more than once to the church. We read in Galatians chapter 5. Verses 19 to 23, I'm reading. This is Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. Verse 21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Verse 23, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Through hearing messages that bring truth and conviction, you can repent and grow. This is not an intellectual process. You must depart from iniquity to grow up. You have to be led by the Spirit to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. To grow up or follow him, you have to reject your own lordship, become part of the body of Christ, and make him Lord. If Jesus is not Lord of your life, then you cannot connect to the head, which is the most important part of the body. Jesus prayed for his disciples in John 17 and verse 17. He said, sanctify them through thy word is truth. Jesus was praying for his disciples to be sanctified. He also prayed for those who would believe and follow his teaching passed on through the disciples. Jesus said in John 17:20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. You have to rely on the word that he gives you to come to repentance, Jesus said to the disciples in John 14:26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." The word that is brought to our mind is there to set us free. Freedom from sin comes when you hear, know, and follow Jesus, because Jesus is the truth. We read in John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." You cannot have the truth on its own. Truth is not knowledge. Those who are on the narrow way get life by trusting him, not by using their minds. We are very privileged as disciples to have truth. Jesus said in John 16 and verse 13, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Jesus promised his disciples that as they followed him, their minds would be renewed. By obeying the Holy Spirit, he would reveal things to come. He said this in the upper room the night before he was betrayed and crucified. You have to keep following Christ to have access to truth. Even the church of Ephesus had to do their first works over again. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2, I'm reading from verses 1 to 5. This is Revelation chapter 2, starting in verse 1. "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things says he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." Verse 2. "I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars." Verse 3. "And has borne and has patience for my name's sake, and has labored and has not fainted." Verse 4. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Verse 5. "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent." The church of Ephesus had been standing out and shining for Jesus. They had some light, since they recognized the false apostles. God was even using them as a light for others. But they had to do their first works again, even while the ministry was going on. James said in James chapter 1 and verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Loving something in this world more than Jesus is idolatry. James said in James chapter 4 and verse 4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Losing your first love is opening yourself up for temptation. And the devil can easily tempt you, because you will listen to a wrong voice instead. We read in the book of Revelation, chapter 12 and verse 11, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Noah Webster in 1828 defined a lie as, number one, to utter falsehood with an intention to deceive or with an immoral design. Number two, to exhibit a false representation, to say or do that which deceives another, when he has a right to know the truth, or when morality requires a just representation. In the book Light, in chapter 12, on the difference between true and truth, on page 89, Joseph Hitchcock says, A lie is generally defined as anything that is said or done with the intention of bringing you to a conclusion other than the naked truth. We would all agree that the written word is truth. However, when Satan uses scriptures, he intends to bring you to a conclusion that is a lie. Therefore, the way certain scriptures are used may be true, but not the truth. Those who are leading large congregations often take scripture that is true and hand it out as truth. They are directed by the devil to leave something out that is a condition for someone who really wants to come to maturity. Here's some examples. False leaders use testimonies from baby Christians to confirm their ministry. However, Jesus told us to make disciples. Miracles are supposed to be an indication that someone is a disciple of Christ. However, God can even use a donkey to do a miracle, so that is not the evidence of maturity. Sin passing away is a sign of maturity. Large organizations, based on the size of their congregation, believe they cannot be deceived, but Jesus said, "Broad is the road that leads to destruction." Churches that are deceived are places of comfort where there is no conviction of the Spirit and therefore no spiritual growth. A large gathering will reduce in size when you start to tell the truth. Many will leave because of the hard sayings. Jesus reduced the size of his following from a gathering of 5,000 down to just 120 in 3 years. We read in the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 15, "And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of them together were about 120. Joseph Hedgecott says in his book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, in chapter 2 on page 12, "I have seen numerous individuals who seem to know how to hear the Lord's voice, yet they never quite walk in the truth to the point they enjoy intimate fellowship with him." Testimonies of hearing the Lord are always very exciting and give a visual aid to how something should look like. Also, you can read many testimonies of others who have walked with God or have since died. Unfortunately, you cannot ask those leaders how they walk with God. Jesus said in Matthew 23 and verses 26 and 27, "Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." Verse 27, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." By learning just techniques of others, you will end up with just an outward form of righteousness. It then looks like the real deal, but without repentance, there is no inward righteousness. Jesus continued in Matthew 23 and verse 28, "Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." You cannot learn spiritually without the pain of conviction or godly sorrow, as it is necessary when getting to the root of sin. If you avoid correction and learn techniques, you'll end up with a counterfeit. You must be submitted and be corrected by someone who is following Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me," verse 17, "and for this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." Timothy was a follower of Paul, so he was qualified to teach in all the churches, without any formalized training or a diploma from Bible school as they require today. When you learn truth, you also learn the reason why you did it in the flesh, the first time, and also why you made an excuse for yourself. Paul describes the situation in the church in the last days. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In the flesh, you will end up learning another shortcut and never come to the true understanding of the condition of your soul, and your bad fruit will not disappear as evidence that you are not learning. This is why I concentrate on repentance and sin in the form of a list and a notebook. No pain, no gain, Paul had to say in 1 Corinthians 4:15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, ye have yet not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. The Corinthians were carnal, and they had 10,000 teachers and testimonies. But for the word teachers, Paul meant primary school teachers. You cannot come to the truth without correction from a father figure. James said in James 4, verses 7, 8, and 9. He said, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Verse 9. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. James said this to a church that was going through trials and difficulties, even scattered and isolated one from another. In some countries, churches are not able to meet easily. This is even happening today because of the pandemic. What are you working towards spiritually? Is it outward righteousness, in which case you're becoming a Pharisee, or inward righteousness and holiness? Jesus is coming soon. Get on the narrow way before it's too late. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. In the kingdom, we all started with Jesus, and he is the truth. If you have even come to truth, it's only with the help of the Holy Spirit. Today, the church has chosen ignorance by using their minds instead. We read in John 18, verses 37 and 38. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king, and to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth, and every one that is of the truth hears my voice. Verse 38. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Pilate said, what is truth? This is the answer you'll find in many churches today. Truth does not change with culture or color. It doesn't change with circumstances. The world believes that they can come to truth by gathering facts and doing analysis using their own brains, but this is a lie. One of the lecturers in a top UK Pentecostal Bible school said to me that he did not believe you could come to truth. So in that college, they justified teaching all the different theories instead. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Trying to understand the things of God with the natural mind is error. Jesus said in John 10, 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If you're following and hearing his voice, then you understand and know how rare truth is. You're not making excuses to God when you experience conviction. The key to hearing his voice all the time is to receive and embrace truth and the conviction it brings. I was once asked to speak at a large gathering of 500 leaders in the UK. I asked the question, how many of you hear his voice clearly and ask God and get an answer instantly? Only a few raised their hands. Then I asked them how many could hear the devil's voice, and nearly everyone raised their hand. In the last days there will be a famine. In Amos 8:11 it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." There is already a famine of hearing what God is saying personally about sin. You do not hear many preaching repentance today. Jesus said in Matthew 13, verses 41 to 43, I read, this is Matthew 13, verse 41. "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity." Verse 42. "And shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Verse 43. "Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Anyone in his kingdom committing sin will be removed and cast into the fire by the angels. You have to make sure that you are not one of them. A famine of hearing the word of the Lord comes because of iniquity and manifests in those who represent him and resist conviction and correction. In the book of Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear." Verse 2, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." Jesus is the truth, and he is Lord. So if you want truth, he must be your Lord. In John 8, verse 31 and 32, we read, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed." Verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Do you believe that you are still a prisoner without experiencing truth, conviction, and regular repentance? If you have a close relationship with Jesus, then you have a lot of freedom. Paul said in Galatians 5 and verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." The Jews did not believe they were trapped. We read in John 8, verses 33 to 37, I'm reading, this is John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 33. "And they answered him, We be Abraham's seed, we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Verse 34, "And Jesus answered to them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Verse 35, "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever." Verse 36, "If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Verse 37, "And I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you." You might not be a Jew, but claim that you are born again and free as a result. Jesus came to set us free. It is possible. If you believe you are not a prisoner, you are already trapped. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, he said, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves, and know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." The truth will set you free from sin and the law of sin and death. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." He is the one who will make you free, but only when he is your functional Lord. You have to abide in Christ to stay free. You cannot blame God for a lack of freedom in your life and take over the Lordship. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth and crucified among you?" Obeying the truth is obeying the Spirit of truth. Conviction is the basis of the sanctification process and our hope of glory. Truth is a privilege and conviction is a blessing. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm reading from verses 8 to 13. Verse 8, "Love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away." Verse 9, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part." Verse 10, "But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is part shall be done away." Verse 11, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, and understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." Verse 12, "For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then shall I know, even also as I am known." Verse 13, "And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Paul realized all this knowledge was limited and said that he had found a better way, which was just love for God and love for the truth. He saw seeking to understand things with the mind as childish and became a man and learnt to hear and obey God's voice instead. You can also put away childish things. It is childish to work out things with your mind because we see dimly. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." If you have really stopped using your mind trying to understand the things of God, then only three things remain: faith, hope, and love. Number one, first, you are left with faith, and that means you are asking God everything. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." If you trust God 100%, then you do not lean to your own understanding. If you listen to your own heart, you will also be deceived as well. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10, it says, I'm reading verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Verse 10, "I, the Lord, search the heart and I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Number 2, repentance of what God is showing you now is the hope of salvation. There is no condemnation in Christ. Even my bad fruit can be a means to repentance. Those who have a heart after God will repent because they love him and his word has a place in them already. They love the truth. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." This hope is not based on trying to understand the Bible with your mind. This could lead to depression. Only God sees the root issue clearly. We read in Isaiah 46 and verse 10, "Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done." saying, my account shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. I know what truth can do for me personally. The fruit of repentance comes from a love for the truth. If you lack wisdom, you can ask. God's wisdom is greater than any situation you can imagine. He makes a way where there is no way. James says in James chapter 3 and verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Number 3. Love is the greatest force on the face of the earth. You can change the world and influence and reach many. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them which curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. The world cannot understand this kind of pure love. Jesus said in Luke 6 and verse 27, and I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies and do good to them which hate you. When someone is promoting a strange teaching, then they need truth to set them free. This must be done in love, otherwise they will not receive the truth. The enemy has access to someone who is deceived, and you need to say things that will help them rescue their own selves. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Those who have not walked in the truth follow a way that seems right. Proverbs chapter 14 and verses 12, 13, and 14, we read, this is Proverbs 14 and verse 12, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Verse 13, even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Verse 14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Deception comes from the letter of the law applied to any situation. The devil used scripture to tempt Jesus. We read in Matthew chapter 4, and reading from verses 3 to 11. This is Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Verse 5, then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. Verse 6, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Verse 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse 8, and again the devil took him up into an exceedingly high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. Verse 9, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Verse 10, then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Verse 11, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. The devil wants you to sit down and study the word of God using your mind, so that he can influence your carnal thinking and come to wrong conclusions. Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse 4, and that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, and that they might bring us unto bondage. those who are not following Christ are false brethren. They have scriptures that apply to the Jews, for example, and try to bring his people into bondage every day. The Jews have killed many genuine followers of Christ. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We need the rightly divided word. Something can be true but not truth. Joseph Hedgecock gives a critical teaching on true versus truth in chapter 4 of the book My Sheep Hear My Voice. On page 25 he says this, "Any time you come to a conclusion that is contrary to what God says, it is not truth. In fact, it is a lie. It doesn't matter if you find 50 scriptures to confirm and reinforce your opinion. If someone presents a doctrine or you decide something is a doctrine and it contains portions that are true, but the conclusion is not the rightly divided truth of God's word, it is a lie. Something may sound right, but it's not the truth." Please refer to the book Light, revised edition by Joseph Hedgecock, on the chapter called The Difference Between True and Truth for more information. If you've already believed lies, you cannot receive the truth before you first reject the lie that is in its place. This is why some of you are stuck. But what happens if you don't know what you already believed is a lie? This is why we have all been given the Spirit of Truth, and we have to completely trust him and not resist the Holy Spirit. In the book Light, revised edition, in the chapter called The Difference Between True and Truth, on page 87, Joseph Hedgecock says, "It is imperative that we learn to recognize the difference between what is true, which could be deceptive, and what is truth, so that we can walk closely with God. The devil is often unable to tempt us to turn away from God with something that is obviously evil. Therefore, he must come up with a better plan to deceive us. He is an expert at tricking us into believing lies that are disguised as truth. In fact, he will tell us information that is true in order to slip in a lie when we are unaware of it. I have heard it said that Satan will feed you a lake of truth so that he can give you a cup of poison. Some sermons have a lake of truth, but one small amount of error will make it a lie. I wanted to repent when I saw how easily the devil was able to deceive me through my mind. I submitted, and I had to learn to like correction and conviction of the Spirit. This is the only safe place. I carried the bags of Joseph Hedgecock so I could have a chance to get more correction. The church I was attending at the time was way too comfortable." John said in 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth." Verse 7, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. The Holy Spirit will not bear witness to a lie. If you do not test everything with the three witnesses, you will end up believing a lie. You will drink the devil's poison if you keep trusting in your own mind. For more information on how to use the three witnesses, please read the book, The Three Infallible Witnesses by Joseph Hedgecock." Jesus is the head of the body, and he is sending out his servants to build up the body with truth. Truth should not be rare among the church. We read in John 1 and verse 17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Grace and truth is better than the law. Truth is not another list of rules. Truth leads to repentance and life. All things will be passing away if you have truth. When you really repent of something, you do not do it again. Regular repentance is a sign that you are on the narrow way and living in the light. God's ways are superior, so there's no excuse for not following instructions daily if you believe. But you must believe and not doubt when God starts operating on your heart. You can develop a taste for truth because it is life, even though it brings conviction. David said in Psalm 34 and verse 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." When you received Christ, did you realize that you're going to get so much truth? We read in John chapter 6, and I'm reading verses 66, 67, and 68. This is John's Gospel, chapter 6, and verse 66. "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." Verse 67. "Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away?" Verse 68. "Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Many left Jesus because of the hard sayings. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 11, 12, and 13, "Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, after it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Verse 12. "Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees." Verse 13. "And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." Grace and truth came together. You have to learn grace. Through Jesus, we get grace as well, so we can repent. However, if you only learn grace, it's like learning all the easy subjects first. Then you'll be left with the harder subjects at the end. Grace is easy because you cannot earn it, and with grace you can do anything. But some want grace without truth so they can do what they want and continue to be lord of their own lives. However, when you abide in Christ, the Spirit will bring truth and conviction so you will not be deceived. God supplies grace so that you have a chance to obey. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Walking in the light is trusting him with your feelings too, by abiding in his presence. You will feel miserable if you get in the flesh." Joseph Hedgecock says in his book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, in chapter 2, on pages 15 and 16, "Understand that it is a blessing to receive truth, even if it makes you uncomfortable, because it exposes a lie within you. You cannot grow unless you receive truth and repent of the lie exposes. Every time a new truth comes into your life, it will expose ignorance or a lie that you have been believing. The confrontation between truth and a lie is always uncomfortable to the flesh. Truth exposes sin in your life. This will bring an uneasy feeling and even a grieving in your spirit. All you have to do to embrace the truth and remove the conviction and discomfort is confess the lie that you've been believing, repent of it from the heart, and receive the truth in its place. You'll be set free from that lie as you receive the truth. It is a blessing to be convicted of sin, because when you repent of it, you will be set free from its power. Now we have an obligation to the truth. We all need to be faithful to the truth." Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verses 17 and 18, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." The Amplified Bible in verse 18 says, "For God's holy wrath and indignation are revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who in their wickedness repress and hinder the truth and make it inoperative. God is getting you ready to rule and reign. And you have to remember that. It helps to have a vision. Do not hinder or repress truth. God is getting you ready to rule and reign with Christ. And you have to remember that. It helps to have a vision. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Truth is not just a set of guidelines. Your faith has to be in him, that he knows what he's doing. He is faithful. You just submit. You are like the statue that is being carved. In the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, on pages 43 and 44, Joseph Hedgecock says, God constantly chisels away parts of our lives that are not part of his divine creation in us. It's like Michelangelo creating the granite statue of a horse. He chiseled away everything that did not look like a horse. God is the same way. Everything in your life, what he has done, he leaves in place and builds on. At the same time, he removes everything that is not what he ordained. He replaces the old you with the new you that is created in his image. You are justified by faith in him when you no longer hinder the truth and make it inoperative. God is doing the work, but you must not hinder it. The world has replaced truth with their theories. The Bible says in Genesis 1 and 27, so God created man his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. The theory of evolution, that man came from monkeys, is not the truth. Because this theory was promoted as truth, many are now in hell. In the judgment, those who promoted this theory will suffer because they hinder truth unless they repent before it's too late. If you hinder the truth, you are also stopping others from being saved. How many will be lost if you hinder the truth in your own life? When you depart from truth in your heart, you are also denying Jesus and turning your back on him. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The mother of sin is iniquity. Iniquity starts in your heart when you exchange the truth for a lie. He is going to judge mankind for replacing the truth with a lie. And will he also not do the same with us? Those compromising on the truth are in danger of hell. He keeps records and the books will be opened. Jesus taught in Matthew 5, 13, 14, and 15. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, and if the salt has lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, and be to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick it gives light unto all that are in the house. You are hindering the truth by living in darkness. You are called to give light to others. You cannot do that if you are still sinning and living in darkness. You become useless and good for nothing when you are living in sin. You have to stop sinning first. Then you give light to others. Maybe you do not want to uncover the truth because you prefer darkness yourself and avoid conflict. You cannot avoid conflict. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 34, think not that I am come to send peace or on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Truth is so rare, and people need light today as much as possible in this dark world. Truth is rare today because repentance is rare. We read in Matthew 4 and verse 16, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is springing up. When God gives you truth, it is there to set you free first, and then others. Make sure you let the truth change and set you free first. Otherwise, they will not believe you. You cannot tell someone else to do something you are not doing yourself. Paul reminds us all of what happened to the Jews. In Romans chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, he says, verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The Jews exchanged truth for a lie. If you do the same and do not repent, then will not God give you up also? God does not have two standards. When you exchange truth for a lie, it is a conscious decision because you are choosing to listen to a wrong voice instead. James said in James chapter 1, verses 13, 14, and 15, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Verse 14, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15, then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. God can easily keep the devil away for a short time at the beginning, when you're a baby, but you need to grow up and become a son. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, there had no temptation taken you, but which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. He will never try you beyond what you are able to endure. Everything you need to overcome is either available in your foundation or by asking for what you need by the grace of God to rise above whatever God has allowed in your life. You may not believe this, and that is why you keep failing. John said in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. A trial is actually God's way of saying you are behind and you need to move on and stop listening to a wrong voice. James says in James chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. I'm reading James chapter 1, verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, on page 23, Joseph Hitchcock says, if you have struggled with Jesus' Lordship for much of your Christian life, it is possible you are angry with God because of choices he has made or situation he has allowed in your life. God is always right. He is never the problem. Most believe that they are doing no wrong and just having a bit of fun in life, and God is the problem. Anytime you come to the conclusion that God is the problem, that is the wrong conclusion. Paul says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 4, God forbid, yea, God be true, and every man a liar, as is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. God can make the exception and change you and do everything through you by his grace, so you finish your race on time. However, if he did this, then you would miss out on all that lovely repentance. Every time you repent of something, you are set free from the snares of the evil one, and you also gain something for all eternity that you will never lose. Repentance is the currency exchange office of heaven. If you lose anything for following Christ, you will gain 100-fold in the world to come. This is the great investment you do not want to miss. And Jesus said in Matthew 13 and verse 23, "But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Matthew 19 and verse 29. "And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life." God is love. But if you choose to believe a lie and follow the lust of the flesh, you will sin. And through your life of disobedience, you will experience the misery that sin brings. But God is long-suffering. Peter says in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance." God is not judging you. Do not be deceived. The flesh is the problem. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. I'm reading Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Verse 8. "For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Those who are promoting error will be convicted. Truth exposes lies, but lies can do nothing against the truth. Through truth, you can be set free from the devil's lies and stop sinning. James continued saying in James chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, I'm reading James chapter 1, verse 18. "Of his own will he begot us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Verse 9. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." Those who are self-seeking, self-willed, and contentious are not obeying the truth. Paul said in Romans chapter 2 and verse 8, "But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath." In the Amplified Bibles, Romans 2 and verse 8 says, "But for those who are self-seeking and self-willed and disobedient to the truth, but responsive to wickedness, there will be indignation and wrath." Contentious in Strong's is made up of two words which mean to be excessively or abundantly full of strife. Webster defined contentious as, number one, to contend or given to angry debate, quarrelsome or perverse. Number two, relating to contention in law, relating to litigation, having power to decide causes between contending parties, as in a court of contentious jurisdiction. To contend, you have to go back to your mind and quarrel and debate. And James said in James chapter 1 and verse 20, "For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God." In James 1:20, the word anger is number 3709, and it implies a vengeance. It is taken from another word which means desire, as in reaching forth in excitement of the mind. That is, by analogy, violent passion or justifiable abhorrence. By implication, punishment, anger, indignation, vengeance, or wrath. This judgment that is coming is based on people's response to the truth, not specific laws. Are you contending with God? There is no higher court in the universe. There is no appeal on truth. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 8, "For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth." Even if Paul did not accept the truth, it would not change the truth. Paul knew that even if he was walking in error, the truth of the gospel would not change. God's truth never changes. Even if we all voted against the truth, it would not change. God is always right because he is God. This is a court of truth, not based on culture, creed, right and wrong. Maybe you've never been in such a courtroom. There are no rules because Jesus is the rule or the plumb line himself. We read in Amos chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall and made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. Verse 8. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people, Israel, and I will not again pass by them any more. God's ways are not man's ways. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5. I'm reading from verse 38, and I'm reading all the way to verse 48. This is Matthew chapter 5 and verse 38. You've heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. Verse 39. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn him the other also. Verse 40. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Verse 41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go to a mile, go with him too. Verse 42. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Verse 43. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that which despitefully use you and persecute you. Verse 45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Verse 46. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? But do not even the publicans do the same. Verse 47. And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Verse 48. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. As a child of God, you have access to truth from the moment you are born again and accept him as Lord by grace through faith. If you're willing to follow him like those disciples, you too will have the promised Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But ye know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. You are given a new nature, and the Spirit of truth now lives inside you to help you get ready to live in holiness. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, by where you were sealed unto the day of redemption. God also looks at your little compromises and can see what it equates to and knows all the other sins that will manifest as a result, even though they have not yet happened. Joseph Hedgecott says in his book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, on page 165, the principle of God seeing in fullness also applies if you choose to rebel in your heart and reject God's standards of righteousness. Even if you have not walked out your disobedience by manifesting your rebellion against God and his word, he sees in fullness and will not fellowship with you when you decide to disobey. You may appear to be bowed down before God on the outside, but he knows if you're standing up on the inside. Again, he sees in fullness and treats you according to the state of your heart. For example, if you get offended at someone and decide to punch them in the nose, the next time you see them, at what point do you get convicted? God sees the fullness of your decision at the moment you decide to sin, not when you carry out the sin. He convicts you at the thought stage. When you make the decision to sin, God treats you as if you've already committed the sin by removing his conscious presence. Of course, he doesn't stop loving you, and you don't stop being his child. This is proven by the conviction he brings. Proverbs 23 and verse 7 in the first part confirms this. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. God looks at your motive and your thoughts before anyone else can see that you have done something wrong. He convicts you so that you can repent before you actually carry out the sin that is in your heart. God deals with you at the root stage so that it does not produce a full-grown tree of disobedience. If you want to get to know Jesus, then you're going to have to live in the light. You need to accept his correction by faith and not resist. John said in 1 John chapter 5 and 6, this is 1 John, the first epistle of John chapter 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. Verse 6, and if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You cannot hide from God, therefore you cannot hide from truth. His spirit is truth. You need to be faithful to accept his calling and corrections. Joseph Hedgecott says in his book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, in chapter 8 on page 107, God will not excuse your ignorance if you reject the truth. He requires you to embrace the truth and obey it. If you reject this revelation, you aren't rejecting me or my personal opinions. You're rejecting a relationship with your Lord Jesus Christ. He is bringing truth every day by the Spirit so you can abide deeper and consistently walk in the light as he is in the light. John said in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 to 10, I'm reading. This is 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Even when you sin, the Holy Spirit is faithful if you confess your sins. The psalmist said in Psalms 66 and verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Your prayers will not be heard if you keep resisting the truth. The prayers of the saints are not effective today because of iniquity. Psalms 145 and verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Your prayer life is dependent on truth. When truth has set you free, then you can pray effectively. You cannot effectively pray for changes in others when you have the same problem yourself. James says in James 5 and 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Revival is not happening today because revival starts with you. At least confess your mistakes. Maybe as a child of God, you are waiting for the judgment to begin in the world first, as they have many theories that oppose the truth. But God is actually waiting on you to repent first. Peter said in 1 Peter 4 and 17, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Judgment begins in the house of God before judgment begins in the world. God can see clearly everything. The gospel is the gospel of truth. God can see everything in fullness. John said in John chapter 3 and verse 19, and this is the judgment, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. We now submit ourselves to Jesus, who gave us the Holy Spirit. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tablets of stone, but in fleshly tablets of the heart. Jesus is now the one writing individual thoughts on our hearts. We all have an obligation to the truth, written on our hearts. Everyone is unique. We do not all start with the same commandment. Mine was Matthew 7, 1-2. Jesus is the truth and giving us what we need now, rich or poor. Paul said in Hebrews 4 and 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. There is no better system, because Jesus knows us personally, and he can now complete the work in us. Paul also said in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What evidence do you have that Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith? Or are you trying to be faithful to some written code? This is a trap. Only God is faithful. You just have to be faithful to God by obeying the truth, and we get grace to do this. Do not use the grace up by making excuses. We need the grace to be faithful and hear and obey his voice. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15, while it is said, if we hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Again he said in Hebrews 4 and verse 7, again he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. By changing the things he's showing, you will become free. Jesus said in John 4 and 24, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Joseph Hitchcock says in the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, on page 199, believing and obeying the truth is your responsibility. No one else can do it for you. You will lose freedom when you start compromising truth and end up fighting the truth instead. You should fight the good fight and be faithful to the truth. God is spirit. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So you fight to obey the Spirit, and you will get free from sin. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The only way you know you belong to him is because you are changing and you are departing from iniquity. He is doing the work of giving you the truth you need to kill the flesh completely. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Joseph Hedgecott says in his book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, in chapter 2 on page 70, the process of receiving truth and repenting of the lies you have believed will stop the war of the two natures within. The old nature will lose its power if you continue to repent when God convicts you of sin. The way you know that you are really following Christ is that you are overcoming iniquity with truth. In Revelation 17 and 14, it says this, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful." I cannot be on the winning side unless I'm overcoming sin. I'm chosen because I'm faithfully working on what God is directing. He will not test you beyond what you're able to endure. Repentance is the fruit of being faithful to the truth, conviction, and the correction he brings. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course and I have kept the faith." Also, he says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 27, I'm reading. This is Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Verse 24. "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Verse 25. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching." Verse 26. "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins." Verse 27. "But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." Beyond the knowledge of God, there is no appeal. The law is not greater than the truth. Realize you need to work out your salvation by repentance and conviction based on the truth. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." We read in the Amplified Bible, in John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten, unique Son, so that whosoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, and relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal everlasting life." Do you have faith that really clings to Christ, even when trouble comes? Do you still trust and obey his voice and follow him? Jesus said in Luke 9, 23, 24, and 25. I'm reading Luke 9, verse 23. "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." Verse 25. "For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway?" You will become a castaway if you do not follow Christ. Have you made the decision to hear and follow Christ? You will get to know him as well and find an abundance of truth by the Spirit. If you want to have eternal security and never perish, learn to hear his voice. Get to know and follow him. By hearing his voice and following, nothing can cause you to lose your salvation. Paul said in Acts chapter 16 and verse 31, "And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." In the Amplified Bible it says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give yourself up to him. Take yourself out of your own keeping and entrust yourself into his own keeping, and you'll be saved." True salvation comes when you believe on the Lord Jesus, not by just accepting Jesus as your Savior. If you are clinging to the truth, you are clinging to Jesus. Jesus is the truth. Do not reduce Christianity down to just another set of rules. Christianity is not just another religion either. It is a relationship with a living God. You do not need perfect sermons. What you need is to be able to come to truth by relying on the Holy Spirit for truth and not trying to work it out with your mind. This was a critical command from Paul in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. He said, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another." The perfect law of liberty is just two rules. Number one, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, do it. And number two, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you not to do, do not do it. These rules are easy to remember. The commands come by the Spirit. You must not forget what he said. It is best to make a note, otherwise you might forget what he shows you about the condition of your heart. You can only really be free by following the truth. What are you using your liberty for? Do you have your own list of what God allows and what he does not allow? You are exchanging the truth for lies. You need to check everything with the Lord. Iniquity starts in your heart when you think you have rights to decide what is right and wrong rather than ask God everything. If you do not check everything, then you will end up with your own man-made rules, so you do not have to ask God. Maybe you believe the lie that God gave you a brain and expects you to use it. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is living in you only 18 inches from your brain. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and make the decision to start on the narrow path with daily and regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity. Do not let the devil turn you away from the love of the truth. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book, The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. In this message, I have described to you so many benefits of the truth. And we are so privileged. We've been given so much. The world is looking for truth, and we are supposed to be children of the light. If you have something so precious, you will sell everything you have and go and buy that one thing. Well, truth is precious to me. I love truth. I know it's so rare. And people today are using their minds all the time, confusing themselves, putting themselves in darkness. But you and I can be children of the light. And I appeal to you to be faithful to the truth. Don't ignore the working of the Holy Spirit in your heart. If he is telling you something, submit to the Spirit. Let the Spirit work in you. If he is grieved in your heart and you know you've resisted him, ask God to forgive you. Christianity is not just another religion. It is a relationship with the living God. And we have in our hearts divine nature. This is the one that we're going to spend eternity with. And we're going to know him even as we are known. So if we're fighting him now, how will it be? Ask God to just show you where you have fought and resisted the Holy Spirit. And be honest and let him show you the real reason why you have resisted the Holy Spirit. Father, I'm praying for those who've been listening to this message. And I know that through each of the verses and the things that have been said, your Spirit has been working in them. And there's so much here in what they've heard. But Father, I pray that you put it all together and let them not be afraid, but come boldly into your presence and see the things that are really in their hearts, that they can rescue themselves. They can see what they have done that's betrayed their wonderful inheritance that they can have with you. So, Father, I'm praying for them that they will be faithful and be faithful to the truth. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. What a wonderful time we've had together. I pray that you've really enjoyed this message. If you want to stay in touch with the ministry, there's some contact details and afterwards a summary of the scriptures that are being included in this message. God bless you and have a great day. Amen.